You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to WWD Voices. I'm Arthur Zakowitz. Today, I'll be chatting with Jasmine Vinay, who's a designer and founder of Arch NYC, a fashion footwear brand created for, quote, women who own their power, end quote. Jasmine, welcome to WWD Voices.
Hi, Arthur. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you speaking, you know, we're on a podcast. You mentioned before the show that you used to have your own podcast. What was that about?
I did. It's called She Radio. It's me and two of my friends. And it ran for a few seasons. We had a few seasons. It was live radio, internet radio at like 8 a.m. It was crazy. It was chaotic. But it was a really good show. I don't even know if it's still available on like Apple Podcasts. And I'm not encouraging anybody to go listen to it at all. But it was a great time. It was a great time. Wait till they hear about us shouting She out. But amazing. It was fun. This makes me miss it. I'm like using my old podcast mic to talk to you and everything.
So thanks for digging out the old podcast microphone. let's talk about Arch NYC. What was the impetus behind launching the brand and the company?
Sure. So I launched Arch in 2018. I was 2 years out of college, and I wasn't feeling great about where I was in the industry. I had faced two layoffs, and I felt like I wasn't on the path that I was like really feeling strongly about and excited about when I graduated college. I was young, you know, coordinator level when you first come out of school and everything. And I felt like the management around me has so much control of my career. And I was like, this is insane. Like, they control my money. They control when I get paid, how I get paid, the projects that I'm working on. And it was really a control moment. Like, I really just needed to carve my own space. I needed to feel like I was owning something and my creativity was being fed. You know, my voice was being heard. It was my opinion that mattered and my brand. And so nobody else was doing it at the time. At least it didn't seem like it. Like, you know, on your social media, the people that you follow. In 2018, I didn't really know about any other small footwear brands. And so I was like, well, and it didn't start at shoes. Like, when I first was like, I want to create my own brand. I want to sell my own stuff. It did not start at shoes. It actually, I thought about lip gloss. I thought about selling lip gloss first. I thought about selling sunglasses. I knew I didn't want to do clothes because I worked in clothes. Like, I worked in fashion. My background is in fashion merchandising from LIM. And then all of my corporate experience is fashion marketing experience, with some beauty here and there, some wine and spirits here and there too. But so it really came from a place of wanting to carve my own space out, wanting to have my own thing. I didn't feel like there was a lot of competition at the time. And so that's kind of what kickstarted it. I was in my room one day and I was like, well, sunglasses feels like, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Lip gloss, I was like, that's a beauty company. That's not a fashion company. And I was looking around my closet one day and I was like, what do I have a lot of that I feel like people would trust my opinion on? And that's where footwear came.
What were some of the challenges that you faced early on?
Funding. I think funding is always a challenge, especially for entrepreneurs, black-owned businesses. I would say funding is more of a challenge now than it was then. But then it was funding, and it was like finding manufacturers and production, figuring out where I wanted to produce everything. And it's funny because I don't have a design background, so I kind of jumped into this with like both feet and like no parachute, because my background is business. It's not design. So I kind of did everything from scratch. And actually, I started as white label, meaning that I purchased inventory that was already available, and I customized it to the best of my ability. You know, I was allowed to change color, change material, change heel height, but it wasn't like my specific design. And so that is how I actually started. I actually did that from 2018 to 2020. And so that was hard. Navigating those manufacturers and those production teams with little to no experience in that. But it was good because now I know how to speak to them. Now the factory conversations and the relationships have been built. You know what I mean? So those challenges were different. The challenges when I first started were definitely different than it is now. I would say another challenge when I first started was paying for marketing and finding quality talent in my price range. Because again, you know, I'm 2 years out of college. I'm working off of a coordinator / low level assistant salary. I'm living in New York City. Like, I didn't have tons of thousands of dollars to just spend, but I did have a lot of money saved because I was supposed to move and I ended up not moving. And I used that money to help fund the first year of the business. So there were challenges there, but you know, now they're different.
What, so a little shout out to LIM College. Did that give you an edge? You said you didn't study fashion, but that, you know the business, right? It's a business.
Right. So LIM was where business meets fashion. And so I never knew I wanted to be a designer. I really did not know that until 2018. And it's funny because now when I look back, the writing was kind of on the wall. I didn't notice it. And so that's why I chose fashion business school, because I knew I wanted to work in fashion, but I thought I wanted to be like the CEO of a huge luxury fashion corporation. Now I want to be the CEO of mine. But I think LIM did give me an edge. You know, the thing about college is everybody's experience is different. Some people, they love college and they are like, it's great. Everybody should go to school. And everybody, or some people, don't have that experience. I genuinely loved school. I loved college. I still love school. Like, I am such a nerdy person when it comes to things like that. So I do think LIM gave all their students an advantage, because I think especially landing my internships, when they saw LIM on the paper, it was like, oh, we know the type of student we're about to get. We know what type of intern we're about to get. And some of the people already working there did go to LIM, you know? So it was like, oh, I trust them already. So yeah, I would give them a little shout out.
Now, you said that you have different challenges now. So what are those? I mean, you survived the pandemic, right?
Yes, by the skin of my teeth. I would say, you know, the brand changed during the pandemic. Like, 2020, footwear is not essential. There was no sales. You know, people are not going anywhere. People were not spending unnecessary money, rightfully so. But that actually a blessing in disguise, because it gave me a chance to kind of stop the white labeling, because that was not really an option, because there was no such thing at that time as importing anything, you know? So it gave me a chance to kind of stop doing that for a second, rework the business strategy, rework how I saw Arch and what I wanted for it. And none of the product that I had from my white label was selling at the time. So I stopped and I kind of met the customers where they were, and I introduced slippers. And that was the first time that the slippers were actually offered with the brand. And I wasn't expecting the slippers to do what they did. It was really just like we need to make money. We need to meet the customers where they are. We need to let them know that we haven't gone anywhere. But how can we as a brand support them while they support us during a pandemic that nobody's ever been through? And so I started the slippers, and the slippers were actually handmade by a lady in California. So we drew up the sketch and we picked the materials, and she went out and found everything, and she was making these handmade slippers in her house. And they sold out. That was my first sellout product. And that is how we survived the pandemic. And so that was like a big hit for us. And we continued to manufacture the slippers after. Once things slowed down in 2021, when factories started to open again and material costs started to come down, then I really got them manufactured. I got them produced. So now they're like this high level, very luxe slipper. We offer it in three colors. You can find them on the website. The website is www.archnyc.co, not com.co. They're in three different colors. They're called the plush added slipper. But the plush added slipper is how we survived the pandemic. And I would say outside of the pandemic, the challenges now, the struggles now, really still, you know, funding. And I'm going to keep saying that because that is such a difficult piece of business that I wish I knew and understood before I jumped in. In 2018, what is it, 2020? Was that 4 years ago? I was 24. I just turned 28. I was 23, 24. Like I said, out of college for 2 years. And I had this business mindset, but I had a corporate business mindset. It was never a business mindset of being your own entrepreneur and having this own company. So I didn't think through, I don't think I thought through fully how much this would cost and how much you need to keep going. And although sales are great and, you know, we do well and the business is growing every day, I still need funding. I still need backing. And so I think that's a challenge, especially for women entrepreneurs. You know, we don't get a lot of like venture capital money and like any investment money. It's a really low percentage. I want to say it's less than like 1%.
Right.
And we make up so much of the small business sector. You know, women really keep small businesses going. And so it's frustrating when a challenge such as funding can keep you from kind of going to that next level.
But tell us about the product offerings and some of the design inspirations.
Sure. So Arch is created for fashion enthusiasts. I always say that. And so we offer footwear. And I really wanted to specialize in heels. When I first started, it was really about specializing in heels. And quickly, obviously, that changed with the 2020 pivot needs of the slippers. But I'm really inspired by color and texture. I love the beauty industry. I love, obviously, the fashion industry. And I think there are so many excellent images out there. I spend so much time on Pinterest, like mood boarding, because the amount of inspo that I just get from seeing different colors or different textures, I'm always like, oh, wow, this would be really cool in shoe form. How can I interpret this to be put into a shoe? One of the things that I really hold close to me for inspo is, what do I want to see? I always ask myself, like, what shoe is not in my closet that I want there? If I could have any shoe for this outfit, what would it be? And I kind of designed from that perspective because I expect my customer to also be in that space. Like, if I could have any shoe right now, it would be this. And I kind of try to forecast that prediction and create shoes that way. I feel like we have so many designs like ready to go that, you know, they haven't been produced yet. They're still in the works. We're still tweaking them. Footwear is such a long time frame. Like, it takes like 18 months. And so if you miss or something's delayed or, you know, you're off. And so I take a lot of inspiration from my consumer, but from the time that I get inspired by it to the time that it's actually out and produced, it could be like a year or two.
I just pulled up your website and I'm immediately hit with color and comfort. It's plush, right? You have, yes. I think your new collection, the edit slipper, plush edit, right? Mm-hmm. That's, and then you have a Moscow mule. Is that?
Yes. The other. So the mule, was our first that was my first design that I actually produced outside of the slippers. That was my first heel design, I should say, that I produced, no white label, from scratch. We custom built that heel, this Western flared 3-inch block heel that kicks out a little bit, that is a custom to the Arch brand. And that inspiration really comes from like my need to want my heart to flutter when I see a shoot. Like, and it's so, like, I'm not making that up. Like, I genuinely feel like a flutter in my heart when I see a shoot that I'm like, oh, I love that. It's so good. And that is my design goal every single time. Like, is there a flutter? And I really just, another inspiration, I really just want to meet women where they are, you know, like I mentioned before, I want to forecast their wants. I want to forecast their needs. Like, where are they in life right now? What type of shoe could help them push through or feel more inspired? I would say that the slippers, the square toe, that was a huge, like, part of the design inspiration in the product offering. There were, at the time, a lot of boots out, square toe, a lot of heels out that were square toe. There was no slipper. There, I didn't see many that had that offering. Most slippers are round, right? And most slippers are closed in. And so that was our take on how we can bring a little bit of arch to the slipper. And also the sole, it's indoor, outdoor. So you'll see a lot of, I actually see so many girls wearing the slippers outside. They were originally produced, obviously, for inside wear, but the sole that I did put on them is for outside. Like, they can do that. But when I said outside, I was thinking, like, okay, go to the mailbox.
Right.
But I love how everybody has interpreted the slipper to be something different. You know, it's not just an in-house shoe for everybody. So that's great. And then our new shoe that's coming out, it's not out yet. This is a WWD exclusive. We have a new shoe coming out. It's called Love Struck. And it's this strappy heel that has a heart built underneath the sole of the shoe. And so from the side, you can see a heart shape. And that was inspired by all of the designs from, like, luxury shoes that are playing with their heel. Like, I'm sure most of the people listening would know the YSL strappy, that the right. heel is actually YSL. Like, it's these letters. That really inspired me because, you know, the footwear industry could become repetitive. And it's like, wow, they found another way to really interpret their heel. I want to find a way, like, what's Arch's signature? What's Arch's, like, moment? And I really hope that once this shoe is released, that's our YSL heel. That's our Prada moment. That's our Dolce & Gabbana, the D&G heel
signature
moment. Yeah. It's our signature. And so now you see so many of these kind of build under constructs that brands are playing with, but ours always takes it a step further, and it's a genuine, like, carve out. And so I'm excited for everybody to see it, because from the side, it's genuinely a heart. And it's really cool. I haven't seen anything like it before, so I'm excited about it.
I can't wait to see it, and thanks for dropping it here first. Appreciate it. So how would you describe the Arch NYC brand, and what are some of the attributes of the brand?
Mm-hmm. So I always say, you know, the brand, like I mentioned before, it's a footwear brand for fashion enthusiasts. And every shoe should invoke some type of emotion. Like, I keep going back to that flutter. But I truly mean that. And part of that is I want the footwear to start a conversation. I want conversation starting footwear. And it's interesting because I always say that, like, I make shoes for women who take up space. I make shoes for women who own their power. And it's like, the shoe should just be there for on any given day when they need that extra push. Or they're in a room and they need to say something to somebody, but they don't even know how to start the conversation. Because that woman will have that day, right? She's strong. She's confident. She's a force. She can talk to anybody. She can network with anybody. But on a given day that maybe she just can't. The shoe was just an extra push to use as the conversation starter. You know, like, maybe that's the icebreaker. That's the, you know, I love your shoe. That's the end, right? Because what conversation ends badly after I love your shoes? It's like, it lets you in. It's, oh, you complimented me. My guard is down now. Now I can talk to you. You know what I mean? And even if the person speaking has on an Arch shoe and they compliment another shoe, and the person responding says, oh, I love your shoes too, then the job is done. Like, that's the focus. And so I would say, always explain the brand as feminine and disruptive, and it's creative, it's culture, you know, because I'm paying attention to the challenges that my consumers are facing on a day to day. And I put myself there too, because I'm kind of the target audience, right? Like, I'm kind of creating for myself and the people around me. My first customer is always my friends. I'm always sending it. What do you think? How do you like these? What's the response? And I gauge it. Sometimes it's really excited. Sometimes it's like, oh, okay, that's cute. And I can tell the difference. You know what I mean? So again, you know, just making shoes for women who, are looking to be memorable, you know, using their shoes as a moment to be memorable. Cause again, if the shoe is the start of the conversation and they, and the shoe is remembered, then how far could that take them? You know?
So, you said, you mentioned an interesting word. You said disruptive. You know, we're living in very socially disruptive times, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, everything from the you know, the school shootings, this you know, Black Lives Matter movement. Like, how does that influence your business? Is that top of mind for you? And do you see your brand offering kind of comfort to a disruptive world?
So I think it's difficult because it's like, how much can a fashion brand do in that moment, right? Like, I don't want to feel performative, and I don't want to feel insensitive, but it's also about how it affects me as a person, because if I'm not good, the brand isn't good, right? Like, mentally. And when we were facing so much turmoil for, you know, during Black Lives Matter and around 2020, that hit me so hard that, like, I couldn't even bring myself to tell my customers to shop, you know? So it's like, I think it becomes less of a, how is Arch pushing their company through this, this moment? And it's more of, how is Arch supporting their community during that moment? Right. And so during 2020, with the death of like Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, I added a page on my website for resources, and the page is still there. It actually needs to be updated. I was trying to update it, you know, based on how things changed. And it is obviously been updated in 2020, but, you know, like, it was links there, it was resources there, it was information there to read, to donate, to sign. Because at that moment, I felt like all I could do was use my platform to inform somebody else, to influence somebody else to you know, participate in the change, to add to the change and pushing towards a better tomorrow, for better or worse words. And even like on our school, it wasn't really about, you know, hey guys, new shoes, shop now. It was, no, I am Breonna Taylor. I could have been her. I could have been the girl in the bed at my boyfriend's house. You know what I mean? So yep. I posted, there was a picture, I believe it said, I am Breonna Taylor, or we are Breonna Taylor. It was one of those. And I posted that, and I wrote something like from me. And I said, you know, like, hey guys, it's Jasmine, founder of Arch. Like, and I wrote as a person, not as a brand, not as a fashion line, but just like as a young Black girl that sees what's happening, that's affected, that knows that my core audience is affected by this. And like, I'm here. I hear y'all. I'm listening. I'm outside too. Like, I want to riot too. I want to, you know, but I can't. So here's how I'm helping. And I gave those resources. And so I try to keep up with that page. You know, I want to actually, to your point, add more resources about the Roe versus Wade situation, because I feel like that strongly affects my consumer as well. But I'm really always just trying to let my voice be heard for them, let them know that I'm supporting them and what they're doing. And at that moment, it becomes bigger than shoes, yep. You know?
And with shoes and collections, you're also listening. You said that you kind of start with where they are. How do you do that? Do you observe, you know, women on the street? Do you look at social media? Like how does that
inform bit of both. It's funny because I have people, my friends laugh at me when I go out and they can tell that I'm looking at the feet of other women. And it's because I just want to know what they're wearing. I want to know what type of shoes they're in, what type of shoes they're hanging out in, because, again, a lot of my shoes are heels, so they're being worn, you know, out and about. Like, where else do you wear heels? And so it's good to see, like, what brands they're in. It's good to see the type of heels that they're in. So I do pay attention outside. So if you catch me out and I'm looking at your feet, it's because I'm just curious, you know. And also when I'm out, that's a really good opportunity for me to go up to women and say, hey, I love your shoes. Where'd you get those from? Or they come up to me. Oh, I love when women come up to me and they're like, I love your shoes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. I own a footwear brand. Like, boom, that's perfect word of mouth. Like, I got a follower. I got somebody looking at the website. I got somebody subscribing to my email list. You know what I mean? So, and I open that conversation. What do you like about shoes? What's your favorite footwear brand? What are you wearing right now? You know, so that's one thing. And then social media, yes. Social media is so big right now. I feel like when I first started Arch, like, it was big. It was 2018, so Instagram was a big deal. But, like, TikTok wasn't a big deal. You know, Facebook was kind of old. We weren't really using it. And so it was, like, I really only had to worry about Instagram. Twitter, you could come and go. But, like, whatever. But now it's, like, social media is every day. You got to be on there. You can't miss right. anything. You know, and so I do look at social. I also use, like, my friends as focus groups. And I used to, this is a trick for anybody that owns a brand. I used to curate my close friends on Instagram on the brand page and use it as a focus group. I should do that again. I haven't done that in a long time, but I used to do that. And it was, like, very exclusive. And I would show them new product and I would show them new names and new materials and everything. And it just was, like, fun for them because they got to kind of see an inside scoop, but it was good for me because I was getting information. I was able to extract from their result, their, like, poll results or their questions and their feedback, apply that to my business strategy.
And what's the website is?
The website is www.archnyc.co.
Before we sign off, what's next for your brand and you?
Hopefully growth. You know, always kind of pushing to the next level. That new Love Struck shoe coming out, and you know, I think it's been a rough year or two just because of everything going on in the world. And I really want to get to a place where we are consistently dropping new product. Our new collections are on time and coming out. So that's definitely next. Building that, that funding, you know, looking for, angel investors and things of that nature. And so just a plug, if anybody's an angel investor in the women's consumer space, feel free to reach out. And so, yeah, just continuing to grow, continuing to products, continuing to be there for my consumer. And hopefully Arch is a household name in the next 5-ish years. And, you know, you're thinking back on this podcast, like, wow, yeah, I was there before she dropped the Love Struck shoe.
Jasmine, thank you so much. We'll keep an eye. We'll definitely, we'll check in. Stay in touch with me and let me know your progress.
Thank you, I sure will.
Yeah, and thanks for tuning in to WWE Voices. Have a great day.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.